In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Spirit, Amen. I want to voice an experiment on all of you.
I'm going to ask a question, and I want the answer not to contain the word baptism or baptized. What have we just done, little Juniper? What has happened to
you? She's brought into the church.
Brought into the church. So that could be up here. We need to start from down here.
We bathed her.
We cleansed her. The aluminum that's still up there. We put her in water. All of these answers are correct. Putting her in water, bathing her, purifying her. Refer to what? Those of us who have been baptized, what has happened to us?
We die.
We die. And how do we die? We enter the water, of course. We enter the water, we become fused to the death of Christ on the cross, even though we ourselves personally have not ascended to Golgotha. Nevertheless, in Christ, through Christ, with Christ, we are bound to the cross. But the answer I'm looking for is that we have taken a child of the flesh and made her a child of
the Spirit.
We have taken a child of the flesh and made her a child of the Spirit. We have taken a child of the world. In this case, world has to be understood as that context in which sin and death reign. We have delivered her. We have taken her from that context and placed her into the context of life. Life that is sustained, that is nurtured, that is guided, that illumines, life that is flowing from the Holy Spirit. Now taking Juniper from the context of sin and mortality and bringing her into the context of the Spirit is recognized, is experienced how? Given the answer earlier. To take ourselves from the world and brought into the Spirit means what has happened to us? We've been brought into the body of Christ. We've been brought into the church. We have been born again. We have been regenerated. No longer, because of our being bathed, no longer because of our being illumined, no longer because of our being clothed in Christ and sealed with the Spirit, are we children of sin and death. But we are children of the Spirit, and therefore we belong to the living body of Christ, which is the church. Now, how is the church to maintain this reality of the Spirit? In other terms, Juniper and all of us theoretically have sponsors and godparents. But that is not enough. Juniper needs the community she has entered into. She needs the body of Christ. She needs the church. How does the church maintain the life of the Spirit?
It's liturgical life.
Liturgical life, but even what undergirds, what is the foundation of all that we do here, from making the sign of the cross, to lighting candles, to venerating altar, to going to confession, to receiving the Eucharist. What is the foundation of all of that? The answer is given in today's first gospel reading.
Serving God.
How do we serve God? Say it.
Repent.
Makes me very happy. Repent. Repent. And we've asked this question dozens of times before. What does repentance mean?
Change.
To change what? Metanoite. It's a command. It's an imperative. The Lord repeats the proclamation of his forerunner, John. Metanoite. Change what?
Change your mind.
Change your mind. Do we change our mind once only? To repent is an ongoing process, and therefore, if Juniper is to exist, if she is to be planted in the vineyard of Christ, if she is to become a citizen of the new Eden, the new paradise, which is Christ's living body, the church, if she is to grow in the Spirit, if the gift of the Spirit is to bear fruit, then we have to provide her with that context, that fertile context, which begins with being a people who repent. And we repent because this is our response to the divine overture of love. Everything we have done to Juniper this morning, and her parents will have to remind her about this later, is done because of God's love. She enters the water and she emerges as one who's born again. She enters the water and is no longer a prisoner of sin and death. She enters the water and emerges as one clothed in Christ and sealed with the Spirit. She enters those waters and emerges as one who reflects the beautiful saving face of the Master. If all of that is to be appreciated, if all of that is to bear fruit, then we as a people, as the body of Christ, have to be in the process of repentance. Personally and corporately as the body of Christ, personally and corporately as the church, we have to be in the process of changing the mind. Now, what does it mean to change the mind? If I change my mind, whose mind should I have?
The mind of Christ.
The mind of Christ. And who says that, by the way? Who tells us, mentions it twice in one of his letters?
St. Paul.
St. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians to acquire the mind of Christ. Is that something we can acquire instantaneously?
No.
Is that something that we can acquire and then say, fine, I have the mind of Christ, I need to know nothing further?
No.
To have the mind of Christ is an eternal process. To have the mind of Christ is to become bound to his death, to his resurrection. To have the mind of Christ is to be not only of one mind with him, but to be of one spirit with him, to be of one energy with him. Our energy has to be bound to the divine human energy of Christ. Our will has to be bound to the divine and human wills of our Master. Our thought, all that we do, our activity has to be bound to the God-man. And it is in that process that we can acquire, step by step, as St. Paul says, from glory to glory, the mind of Christ. We have to be a people whose mind is active and therefore open to change. We have to be a people who cannot, because of our Christianity, and it's no secret, especially amongst the Orthodox, that there is a smugness that prevails, that we have everything and therefore we need to learn nothing further, that we, because we have the living tradition, we need nothing to be added to our life. Of course, this is all a lie. As people have been baptized into Christ, as people have been bound to his death and resurrection, as people have put on Christ and have been sealed with the Spirit, we have no right to be smug. Why? Any guess? This is your chance to speak out.
Because each moment is a repentant moment.
Each moment is a moment of repentance. And once we become smug and closed off from the other, once we see ourselves above the other, once we see ourselves better than the other, once we see ourselves as having a relationship with God that no one else can have unless they become exactly like me, stops the process of repentance. As the people who repent, have to be a people who, first of all, allow the mind and the heart to be open to the activity of the Spirit. And therefore, Juniper has to experience that here, in this gathering. Secondly, because we are baptized into Christ, the mind and the heart have to be open to the activity of the Spirit, which will continue that process of changing the mind, which will enable us to grow in the knowledge of Christ, which will enable us to become illumined and therefore bearers of the light that is to shine in the darkness of the world, to shine in the darkness of that context which is bound to sin and death. So what we have done here, brothers and sisters, is not only to bring Juniper into the living body of Christ, but what we have done here is an affirmation. If this baptism is really to have the power that the words that we said express, if that baptism is to truly be the binding of June to Christ's death and resurrection, that can only be real in as much as it is for us something real, something that is ongoing, something that we seek to continue in and through the Spirit, so that indeed, as a people who repent, we are a people whose mind and heart will be open to the inexhaustible truth of the triune and tripersonal God. Amen.